Hola, mujeres. This is Morena Tan Mala, your podcast host, and you're listening to Mujer No Te Rajes, the bilingual podcast dedicated to vitalizing feminine energies in the Latinx community and beyond. I have a very important and polemic topic to discuss today. This episode is called Brujería, the Modern Uprise of the Colored Woman. Now, this is very much about how the movement, this specific movement, is working towards empowering colored women. However, I hope to explore several subpoints within this very popular conversation. From the background of brujería and how it came to be known as something inherently evil, to all the tea about how reclaiming brujería has become a sort of political and social movement, especially for generations X through Z. And I want to end our conversation with an invitation to white women, specifically to, I guess, embrace their own ancestral backgrounds separate from ours, and also explain how our white compeers can share a space in this conversation without exactly appropriating our own culture. Así que para adelante, I want to start off by defining brujería for those who aren't really familiar or only have this like evil witchcraft definition. I kind of want to define it in a more, I guess, less biased and a more practical sense. So while I'm no expert, upon the research that I have conducted, so far I've come to understand that brujería in its eternal definition is a spiritual and medicinal practice in which men and primarily women rely on the natural elements of the world with guidance from the divine to heal mind, body, and soul. Now, there are various forms of brujería and its practices, and they all have different names that depend on the region and the culture. But I do have a little bit of background for you all about how it came to be known as something frowned upon or something evil. Now, according to anthropologist Ruth Behar, women of African and indigenous descent were actually targeted for their ancestral practices and their rituals because they often entailed them having roles of leadership within their communities, and it allowed for their sexual freedom and expression. There was no negative connotation to sexual freedom at that point. The Catholic Church came in dictating oppressive roles for women in society and specifically worked against that same feminine sexuality, therefore banning the use of brujería or the practice of brujería by deeming it evil and immoral. Now, as the Catholic Church progressed and colonized, it started to convert many of the indigenous peoples to Christianity, and furthermore went as far as executing those who continued the practices of brujería. So naturally, people, you know, trying to fight for their lives, to preserve their lives, began to convert and slowly diminish the use of brujería. However, behind the scenes, many mothers and fathers and Tios and tias, you know, they continued their practices or their rituals in a very bajita la mano way, where they were, you know, passing down little remedios or concoctions. And it allowed for some of the practice to live through generations. Now, we fast forward to our day. And I've got to say, this is a lot. It's a heavy stuff to take in. And before I proceed, I just want to kind of give you guys my own reaction. As I was doing the research on this, I was really overwhelmed. I felt anger and I felt sorrow. I felt sorrow at the thought of everything that, you know, as a mestiza, half of my lineage went through. My indigenous ancestors have been through so much, and angry because there is also this other side of me, this other half of me that is Catholic, and, you know, later Christian. And in all honesty, in my own home, it would be really hard to hold this conversation. My mother would low-key faint at the thought of brujería being practiced in her home. Yet my own mother, to cleanse her home, will leave sus remedios, or concoctions of water and herbs and vinegar, in different spaces of the home. So it's being practiced without her even realizing. These indigenous roots are so embedded in us that even when the colonizer, even when the Catholic Church has tried so hard to erase it, there is still an air of it in our culture. There's a lot of it in our culture. And the thing is that we're so confused. Indigenous rituals such as, you know, these herbal cleansing rituals, song and dance ceremonies, harvest prayers, they're so embedded in our Latinx homes that we have a hard time differentiating what has derived from the Catholic part of us or the indigenous part. And that leads me to my next point. This is the part that upsets me. For so long, we have viewed the indigenous side of ourselves as less than, something to be ashamed of, because it's been connotated as ignorant and inherently evil. Pero no más. Generations X through Z, including mine, have taken the practice of brujería to another level of culture. And I'm so proud of it. Again, doing the research, I've found myself feeling an array of emotions. I was a little bit shocked. I was a little bit hesitant. I was excited. And this is why. We have artists like Princess Nokia, all the way to Beyonce, women of color who are reclaiming their African and indigenous identities through brujería practices. Instagram is one of the major platforms for brujas looking to showcase their gifts and connect with other brujas. It was one of my primary platforms for research. Their reach is actually really expansive and is continually growing. We have brujas like at Ethereal Period One, we have at the Hood Witch and at Luz Warrior, and so many more influencers that are encouraging women to reclaim their feminine divinity, as well as their indigenous roots. Because to be honest, they go hand in hand. And that's why you see the popularization of bruja culture and merchandise. The practice of brujería can vary from deep soul searching with indigenous spiritual teachings to actual physical practices using the elements of the earth, such as crystals and herbs, which you see all over Instagram. You see girls with their crystals and you see them with their sage or Palo Santo. But I do want to clarify that most of these women are the ones that are actually practicing are light workers. They draw positive and healing properties from the elements to aid themselves and others dealing with trauma and are combating oppressive systems like patriarchy, like racism. And there are creatives who are using these gifts of arts like music and dance, platforms like media, and establishing communities para nosotras. They are far from being inherently evil, as they are so frequently accused of. The current episodes and articles that I did my research on as well highlighted that brujería is not the way it's represented in science fiction media, which is a great point because we see it as flying brooms and evil laughs only. And I know we are a multidimensional being, so I'm sure we all have a little bit of evil in us, pero mi punto es that brujas come in all shapes and forms and you can only judge them based on their overall character and not because they're practicing, because truly it can be any girl or guy next door. In fact, I mainly refer to girls in this episode, or women or females or feminine energies, but there are many communities of brujos as well. Spellcasting is something that anyone can do. Spellcasting is a very practical thing. It's a prayer. And nuestros remedios, or these concoctions, are cooking recipes. They are practical, everyday things. There is nothing really mystical in the sense of like what we know as science fiction. The gift of brujería, or the magical element, is achieved when women choose to see the divinity within themselves, within their mere light and dark-filled existence, all of it. They are beings who are conscious and intentional of their surroundings and actions, and are exploring their sexual existence in a state of freedom. And so many of us women already are doing these things, but we don't call it brujería. Maybe the difference lies in the fact that brujas are also fighting against the psychological aspect of conditioned guilt. They are reteaching women that their bodies and sexualities are not something to feel ashamed of, but to embrace. That is where the magic waits for us. I mean, me personally, and you, can you imagine walking through this world unapologetically confident and just feeling so? Now, you may be wondering how this ties into politics. And well, Mija's everything we do is political, whether we realize it or not. So I want to kind of elaborate a little bit more on that. The American dream is built on materialism, individualism, and isolation. And this is per the very wise and informed birth bruja, Eri Guajardo. And she just kind of elaborates on what Americanism is teaching us. Unfortunately, it goes radically against the essence of brujería. So the bigger threat here, or the bigger issue, is learning how to coexist with both identities. So now brujería is teaching us that humanity is a collective experience. What one person does affects everyone else. And before I move forward, I kind of just want to acknowledge and shout out the birth bruja herself, Eri Guajardo. I want you to encourage you guys to listen to the Birth Bruja's podcast, episode 1. She does an incredible job explaining her own magical practices and the elements that she uses, and how to kind of get your foot in the door of that it isn't something so far away or so far reach that isn't accessible. You know, it's accessible to anybody who is willing to learn and who is willing to tap into their own spiritual elements. And again, how far you go into it is absolutely up to you. There isn't any pressure, but there's a lot to learn from those experiences. So I do encourage you to look into it. Now back to the political side. This movement has taken flight as of recently, as a response to the heated and polemic political climate that was recreated or resurfaced because of the conversations of misogyny and racism that have been allowed a new presence in a very shameless way and almost encouraged by President Trump. The political context has gotten so bad that communities of color all over the country are experiencing an identity crisis. They're feeling targeted. They're feeling unworthy, especially intersectional minorities like women and LGBTQ of color. Now, if women were to regain their confidence and achieve a more thriving existence instead of being on survival mode, an existence better than before, the impact that we could make in all platforms of power, including politics, will change the way that our country treats minorities. The world is watching us. So I say, let's bless them with something brilliant. Una revolución femenina. Now, there is another controversial side to this conversation, that of white women. Particularly, where they fit into these conversations and these communities. There is an unspoken gap, and I mean to highlight this because I don't intend for this to be a you can't sit with this conversation. I want to highlight the fact that we're all humans and we're all Aboriginals of Earth, and we all have an ancestral pre-Christian background. And so in order to, I guess, tap into this creativity, we have to connect with that side of ourselves. Now, the question is how? Where is it appropriate? So again, going back to this, we all have this untapped mysticism that manifests through creativity and is the power tool to dismantle misogyny, patriarchy, bigotry, and so many other negative E's. There are many other resources that you can refer to, that you can use to guide you, but some of them do leave you wondering, including blogs, articles, podcasts, you know, social media, all these platforms. They'll leave you wondering who they're aimed at. And a lot of them are unbiased and they take a very broad and general approach. I want to be a little bit more direct in this conversation, because I want to leave no space to leave you wondering who's invited into this conversation and who isn't. In this episode, I am addressing women, mi mujer Latina, women of color, but also white women. There needs to be a clear conversation on this bruja culture and who it belongs to, touching on appropriation while also supporting these other races of women to grow into their own empowerment by reclaiming their own ancestral practices. Because we don't talk about the fact that white women had their own forms of craft. There were Viking witches called vulvas. They were also gifted, and they practiced seder, the Old Norse term for witchcraft or magic. And they were often leaders of their clans too. They were also targeted and prosecuted for it as Christianity made its way through Europe. Today, though, it survived. Their practice survived. In Scandinavia, there are still many practicing vulvas. Just like we've seen a resurface of our brujas, vulvas are making a resurface in their own native lands. Now, there is no doubt that white women are victims of misogyny and patriarchy, but they're excluded from our modern brujería movement because this movement highlights the very Aboriginal heritage of Indigenous and African communities. And you know what? That is okay. It doesn't have to mean something offensive, or it doesn't have to be taken offensively. Primarily because this space, the brujería social movement, was created as a space to fight back racism. And while white women usually aren't the victims of racism, but I mean to point out that there needs to be a unison. In their minds and ours, our existing experience needs to be connected in order to fight racism from the inside out. After all, they have raised and hopefully will not continue to raise the white perpetrators of this racism and misogyny. So to my white woman, the healing that comes from reacquainting yourself with your own race's Aboriginal story will come after accepting the pain that was perpetrated by your ancestors on entire races and on humanity as a whole, and allowing yourself to forgive that space, to forgive those actions so that you may heal them. Their stories do not have to be yours, but you cannot deem yourself separate of that history. You have to acknowledge it in order to repair it. We cannot simply flip the page and act like it never happened. that doesn't mean that you have to continue to feel guilty to say the word black or to feel guilty to walk into a room filled with colored people. You have to be the one to act accordingly to your healing process. You don't have to carry the guilt of your ancestors, but you have to be clear of conscience and clear of mind to continue on your path to healing by mending and correcting your future legacy, by correcting the situation for generations to come. Again, their stories, your ancestors, do not have to be yours. But we have to acknowledge that we are, in a sense, a part of their legacy. And so in order to correct it, we have to deem ourselves a part of their story. I cannot deem myself separate of the Spanish and conquistador blood that runs through my veins. I cannot forsake the white blood that's in me. It's mine, all of it. But I can only hope to honor the indigenous blood that is in me by accepting the pain and suffering that was caused by the colonizer's blood and by influencing acknowledgement of the indigenous, her story and history that has been so tactfully erased. As a mestiza, I have to learn to coexist within myself and also learn to coexist in the world. But again, that's the very secret. It starts by learning to do so within yourself, forgiving yourself for the violence, for the acts of oppression against other races and, in essence, against ourselves, because we're all human. Any acts of oppression or discrimination towards other races reflects on us. Colonization has already occurred, and sadly, there is no way to take that back. There is no way to turn back the hands of time. But moving forward, trauma can be healed. Errors can be mended. Changes can be made according to our times. We have to do generational cycles of intentional work to heal those wounds. However, its effects, colonization's effects, such as materialism and isolation, are so the essence of Western culture, and they work against the healing that needs to take place. So this is really our struggle, and this is why we need to unite, because we have to find more ways in which we can continue to use the benefits of Western culture that has brought to us, while also honoring and putting to practice the wisdom that's embedded in crafts such as brujería for all, for the benefit of blacks, browns, and whites, and all other races. Healing the masses of colored women and white women will ensure that humanity can carry on. It will teach men, especially white men, how to heal themselves. And while that is not the responsibility of the colored women, singularly, it is the responsibility of humanity to influence positive change, healing, and to carry forward these spiritual beliefs of light. Men, specifically white men, have been the leading members of society and have made most to all decisions about how we nurture Earth, or better said, how we don't nurture it. Humans and our Mother Earth, it all comes full circle, as cliche as that sounds. Humanity is a collective experience, and we cannot continue to say it's collective without acknowledging that white European descendants, our counterparts, have been the primary oppressors and need this divine intervention that can only be reached by coming face to face with your spiritual healing and understanding that you are part, a small part, of a much larger collective experience. that you are not more important, that you are not more special, that we all have this untapped mysticism that has been lost in the political schemes of government and of religion. And that is not to say that I forsake those, because I don't. I believe in government. I believe in having your religion. But we're missing the most important aspect to all of these, our spirituality. Without spirituality, we lack empathy. And without empathy, we enable these systems of oppression, of discrimination. So I lastly want to end this conversation with an open letter, which is in free verse form and was very much inspired by this conversation. It is my way of, again, becoming and allowing myself to be vulnerable and empathetic, and I hope that you can appreciate it. Here it is. From a colored woman to a white woman. I have my culture. You have yours. One is not better than the other. They are merely different. Our existence is bound to intersect. We're all victims of patriarchy and misogyny. Let's acknowledge our differences. Honor them by highlighting our middle ground. I deserve to hold this space without having to share it with you. Though really, you do not need me to. You have your own ancestral history beyond colonization. I encourage you to explore it. We are stronger, different, and together than alike, but at odds. I appreciate your interest in my culture, though I ask you not to take claim of my ancestral practices, calling them new discoveries. Instead, give credit for what you may want to use. Even invite me to sit with you, though I may decline. This reclamation movement is giving me the space to grow, to prosper in my gifts. It is my healing journey, as well as my ancestors. This is not about threatening your culture. This is not about threatening your existence. And this is not about leaving you out. This is about me growing into who I was meant to be before the nature of my being was oppressed. I really hope that you find your way to do the same. Let's together discover who women were meant to be before misogyny interfered. So there you have it, ladies. I know this is a lot to take in. Opinions may vary, and I encourage you to take up this conversation with your peers from a vulnerable and open position, to be compassionate and empathetic so that we may learn from this experience. And hopefully we can all grow from here. Please DM me. Our IG handle is @mujernoterrajes with any comments or concerns. Gracias por escuchar. Y hasta la siguiente vez.